All right, Shabbos, let's begin. So we left off Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. I got it. Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, right by the two dots. And also our shir today is sponsored by the Krieger family. In the Yartzeit of Pauline Helsdorf, Pesha Esther Bas Moshe Nasan. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and Hashem will have an aliyah.
Amen.
All right, so the Mishnah says the Gemara says the following: Ushmona Asar Davar Gazru. So the Mishnah explained that on that day when Hananya ben Chizkia ben Garan went up to his attic. So remember again, we saw yesterday's daf that part of the motivation why he originally went up there was in order to write his Perishan. Thank you, his Perishan Sefer Yecheskel, right, in order to go ahead and work out any of the inconsistencies that would seem to allow. Seem to make it contradict Torah. So while he's up there, apparently he took advantage of the time that they didn't have that much else going on up in the attic. And there were 18 instances in which Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel, and therefore the halacha followed Beis Shammai. So it says the Gemara, Ma'inin hu shmo shmona asa davar. What are these 18 things? So first of all, number one, Disnan, Elu Polson is a Truma. The following things go ahead and invalidate Truma. Now, I will say what's going to happen in these cases is the following. We know that Halacha L'Maaseh, when it comes to Tumah is a stage oriented state. In that, what you have in Tumah is you have an Ava Tumah, which is the source of Tumah, which could be something like a corpse, it could be a Sheretz. And then what happens is that as Tumah is communicated, the Tumah usually goes down a level. Now, when I say usually, it's because we'll see a couple of examples of times when Tumah does not go down a level. But let's say if I touch a corpse, so the corpse is an Av, I'm a Rishon. If I then communicate that Tumah to someone else, so that person or that entity becomes a Sheni. If that Sheni has the ability to go ahead and transmit something else, it becomes a Shlishi. Generally speaking, there is no status of Tumah beyond the Shlishi. Shlishi is the lowest form of tumah that we have. So the Mishnah over here says that these are the things that pasal truma. Now, interestingly enough, when we speak about pasaling truma, what that means is these are the things that will make truma into a shlishi. The reason why the Mishnah uses the lashon of poslin as opposed to metame is because when you're metame something, there's a double connotation there. Number one, that the item itself is tumah, and number two, that what? It has the ability to convey tumah. Because we're talking about already lower forms of tumah, the most that could happen over here is it makes the truma into a shlishi, but a shlishi, truma, can't convey tumah to anything else. So these are the following things that make truma into a shlishi. What are they? Ha'ochel ochel rishon, va'ochel ochel sheni. If one goes in and eats a food, that's a rishon, and then let's say comes in contact with truma. Or one eats a food that's a sheni and then comes in contact with tumah. V'hashosem mashkin tmein. Or someone who drinks liquids that are tameh and then comes... Again, the parentheses after each of these cases is, and then you come in contact with truma. Alright? V'hashosem mashkin tmein. V'havo rosho verubo b'mayim sh'uvin. Or someone who goes ahead and brings his head and most of his body into drawn water. We'll discuss what that means. We're going to go through each of these cases. V'tahor shenaflu al rosho v'ruvo shlosha lugin. Someone who is tahor, but yet had three lugin of water fall onto his body, ma'im shuvin, of drawn water. V'hasefer, or if you come in contact with the sefer and then touch truma. V'hayadayim, or just stam, unwashed hands. V'atvul yom, or someone who went to the mikvah. Someone who went to, remember, tvul yom refers to someone who was tamei. But remember, as happens with many forms of tumah, you need two things in order to become tahor. Number one, you need to go to the mikvah. Number two, you need what's called harif shemesh, right? You need the sun to set. So tvul yom means someone who went to the mikvah, but is still waiting for sunset in order to become tahor. V'ha ochlim, v'ha kelim shenitmu b'mashkin. And food items and utensils that became tamei through liquid. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go through each of these cases one by one. Man tana, ha ochel ochel rishon, va ochel ochel sheni, mifsele pasle, tumuye lo mitamu. So the Gemara says, who is the opinion who holds that if you go ahead and you eat food that's a rishon, or food that's a sheni, and then let's say you were to come in contact with truma, mifsele pasle is what we were saying before, that halacha lemaisa, it would make the truma pasle, I mean, it would make the truma tame, but tumuye lo mitamu. But it would not convey to the truma a level of tumah that allows the truma to make something else tame. Top of your doubt. Amar Rabba Bar Rahana Rabbi Yoshua. It's Rabbi Yoshua Visnan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ha Ochel Ochel Rishon Rishon Va Ochel Ochel Sheni Sheni Ochel Shlishi Shlishi. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, I will say, that literally, you know, you are what you eat. That if you consume, if you ingest food that is tameh, you, the ingester, go ahead and assume the same level of tumah as the item. So if you ate a rishon, you are a rishon. You ate a sheni, you are a sheni. You ate a shlishi, you are a shlishi. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that's not how tumah works. Ha-ochal, ochal rishon, va-ochal sheni, right, va-ochal sheni, sheni. If you go ahead and you eat a rishon or a sheni, you become a sheni. Now, boss, we're not going to get into it today because it's not our primary topic. Rashi points out over here how it is that you can have a lateral move in tumah. Because normally, as you just said before, aside from Rabbi Eliezer's approach, generally we assume that if you have tummy contact with a tummy item, that even if you become tummy, it's always a step lower. Rabbi Yeshua, Rashi points out that Rabbi Yeshua shows some other cases that you could have a lateral move in tumah. Shlishi, I'm sorry, ha'ochal ochal rishon, va'ochal sheni. Good, you become a sheni. Shlishi, if you eat something that is a shlishi, then sheni lekodesh ve'ein sheni letruma. Then you become, here's another interesting application of this, if you eat a shlishi, when it comes to sacrificial items, remember, what is kodesh? Kodesh is karbanos. But I'll say, there's another piece of this that's important to understand, is that when the holier an item, the more sensitive it is to kiddusha. There's a lot to tumah, excuse me. There's a lot to say about that, both halachically and hashkafically. But the more kadosh you are, the more sensitive you are to tumah. So Rabbi Yeshua holds that if you went ahead and let's say you ate an item that's a shlishi. Now we'll discuss what kind of item could be a shlishi in just a moment. So if you eat a shlishi, what type of shlishi, technically speaking, one would be permitted to eat. If you ate a shlishi, then you become a sheni lekodesh. Then halacha lemaisa, you are treated as a sheni letuma regarding sacrificial items, right? So if you were to, let's say, go ahead and touch a meat of a chatos, you could go ahead and convey tuma to that. Ve'ein sheni letruma. However, you would not become a sheni for truma, because as much as truma is also considered to be consecrated, truma is not on the same level as hekdish. And if you are already a shlishi, because remember, we'll say, what did we say before? A shlishi under normal circumstances can't convey tumah. So what Rabbi Yoshua is saying over here is, however, if you have a sensitive item like kodesh meat, karbanos, you can make it into a sheni, but no sheni for tumah. So the Gemara says, by the way, what is the case of a shlishi food? So the Gemara says, bechulin shenasu al taras tumah. We're talking about a case of chulin that was made on, or that was prepared using the standards of truma. Take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment. Bechulin shenas v'ataras truma. Rashi says kilomar be'eze chulin atamotze ochel shlishi. So what the Gemara is really asking is, where would you find a case of chulin food that would be a shlishi? So he writes bechulin shenas v'ataras truma. We're talking about, Moses, we actually made reference to this yesterday, that there were some people that would eat their chulin, that would eat just their regular food, prepare that regular food with the same, subject that regular food to the same details and the same halachic framework as they would to consecrated items. So Rashi points out, the ilu chulin greda lo mashkachas bushlishi, because under normal circumstances, regular chulin can't become a shlishi, because remember, as we just said before, it's the more sensitive you are to kodesh, or the more kodesh you are, the more sensitive you are to tumah. Regular chulin items can't become a shlishi. So the Gemara is just pointing out the case of chulin that could become a shlishi, and therefore the case of chulin in which you could ingest and still become, would be chulin that was prepared with the same strictures as truma. And therefore, were you to go ahead and eat that shlishi food, that would make you into a sheni regarding karbanos, but not a sheni regarding truma. Okay, so now the Gemara gets back to its case. The Gemara says, "My time of gazur rabbanan tuma." So why did the rabbis go ahead and legislate in this case? Remember, Rabbi Osei, what's the case over here? The case over here is that if someone goes ahead and eats food and eats food that's a rishon, or eats food that's a sheni, the halacha is that they go ahead and they make truma a shlishi. So why did the rabbis feel the need to step in and legislate in this particular case? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says like this. The zinnin, because there are times, the ochel ochlin tmein, a person will eat food that's tamei, the shakil mashkin de truma, the shadi lepumei upasaluhu. So the Gemara says, because there are times when what? Where a person will go ahead and eat food that's tamei, and he'll go ahead and he'll take some truma drink, and he'll put it in his mouth with the tamei food. Then Rabosai, in a circumstance like, see, in reality, what the Gemara is saying is like this. If a person eats food that's a rishon or that's a sheni, in reality, midaraisa, he does not transmit tuma to truma afterwards. Midrabanan, he does. So the Gemara says, so why did Rabbanan feel the need to legislate it? So the reason why the Rabbanan did this is out of fear that you may come to what? Actually eat these items together. There is a fear that you may come to eat tamei food and take a little drink of truma mashkin while you're eating it. Now obviously that's directly problematic because then you would be mixing truma drink with tamei food. So the Gemara says similarly, shose mashkin tamein. My time of gozru bar rabbanon. So too, if the Gemara says in another one of the cases where the rabbanon goes there, why would the rabbanon goes there in the case of drinking tummy liquid? Shows mashkin tmein. So the Gemara says gozru bar rabbanon tuma the zinin the shasin mashkin tmein the shakel ochlin the truma the shadi lepumei upasaluhu. Because Chazal were concerned, I also remember what the Gemara just did was the Gemara just skipped down the list a little bit. And one of the other 18 enactments that they made was that if someone goes ahead and drinks a liquid that is tamei, they could make the truma into a shlishi. So the Gemara says, well, why did the Rabbanan legislate that case? So the Gemara says again one more time because we're concerned. The zinin the shasa mashkin tamei, because sometimes you're going to be drinking something that's tamei. The shakil ochlin the truma v'shadi the pumei upasiluhu, and you'll go ahead and you'll eat a little bit of truma and you'll invalidate it. So the Gemara says hainuach. So what you just articulated are the two of the same exact cases. Right? To both say, remember one more time. The reason Chazal said that if you eat an ocha, if you eat a food that's a rishon, or you eat a food that's a sheni, that you make the truma into a shlishi is why. What are we concerned about? Because sometimes you'll be eating tamei food, and you'll take some drink of truma into your mouth, and you'll go ahead and you'll invalidate the truma. So the Gemara says, why did Chazal legislate about the mashkin tamei? Because sometimes you'll be drinking mashkin tamei, and you'll put a little bit of truma food into your mouth. So the Gemara says that's the same exact gezira. We're concerned about eating truma food with the tamei food, and therefore making the truma food tamei. So the Gemara says, no. Mao detem is actually interesting. Mao detem, what would I have thought? Hoshchichi v'haloshchichi. This case is common. This case is not common. Which case is which? Take a look at Rashi. Hoshchicha. Rashi says she'adam shose imachi laso. It was common that if a person was already eating, that they would drink a little bit while they were eating. However, v'holo shchicha she'ochel imshtiyaso. It was not common that a person would eat with their drinking. What does that mean? So I will say, if a person sat down to a soup, a person was eating, so it was very common that a person would drink something while they were eating. But if a person sat down to have a drink, let's say, so it's not common that a person would change their mind and then what? Decide to have something to eat. So I might have thought, therefore, we should only worry about the first case of ochel that's a rishon, ochel that's a sheni, lest you come to drink truma liquids with it. But in the case of drinking, let's say, mashkin tmein, I'm not concerned that you're going to pop some truma into your mouth. Kamash malon, that we're concerned for both cases.
So isn't this a gezerah on a gezerah? Are they saying, no, it's not a gezerah on a gezerah because you have the actual mashka in your mouth.
Correct.
So therefore it's the same gazera.
That is correct. Okay. It's what we call, so you're saying good. We're actually going to get into this idea that sometimes you could pile multiple layers of gazeros one on top of the other when they're all really the same thing. But that was saying, listen to this next case. This is actually a very interesting one. V'hava rosho v'rubo m'layim shuv. So I was like, understand what this means. So this means if a person literally brings the majority of his body into drawn water, which would just sound like if you take a shower, point if you take a shower, right, the shower is drawn water, it's not rainwater. So if a person goes ahead and immerses, loved up, I shouldn't say immerses, you bring the majority of your body, because it could be anyway, it could be either through a shower, it could be through immersing in it, right? But in drawn water, you become tummy. So the Gemara says, my time of gazu be rabbanim tuma. Why did the rabbi say that such a person is tummy? Amar Abibi, Amar Abasi, listen to this. Shebetchila hayu tovin bimei ma'aros mechunasin usruchim. It was like, it used to be in the old days, remember, people were much more makbid. For the common man, unless a person is a chassid, so the truth is that the common man will visit the mikvah at most a couple of times throughout the years. If somebody has a minhag to go every Erev Shabbos, but a mikvah is not a fixture of the Jewish man's life today. But of course, during the times of the mikdash, certainly it was. It was. If not a weekly, it at least was a regular occurrence, because people became tummy. People had to even tire themselves. You had to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So people would often use pools of rainwater collected in caves. It's cave water, but it's rainwater. Now, what's the issue with immersing in pools and caves? Is that often the Gemara says michunasin. First of all, they were stagnant, right? It wasn't flowing water, and therefore suruchin. They often were putrid, right? Although the water satisfied the technical criteria for mei mikvah, but it wasn't clean. And therefore, what happened? Vahayunosin alein mayin shuvin. So what would you do after you immersed in the cave water? What does your natural reflex? You took a shower, right? You bathed, you poured on yourself, like drawn water. Hischilu va'asom keva. So this then became a regular practice after you went to the mikvah. That it was known that you went to the mikvah, you went into the main ma'ara, then you poured regular water on yourself afterwards. Gazru alehem tuma. Gazru alehem tuma. Therefore, the rabbis made a decree that you become tummy if you do such a thing. So Moshe says, what are you talking about? My keva. What does it mean they made it an established practice? Amar Abaye, shahayu omrim lo elu mitarin, ella elu ve'elu mitarin. What ended up happening is, because it's an interesting way that human behavior works, is that once everybody started doing this as a regular practice, people said, it's not only the mikvah that makes you tahar. What is it? What is it? It's the mikvah and the shower afterwards that makes you tahar. Amar li Rava, nai nafkamina, hakatav li bahanach. So the Gemara says, Rava says, so who cares? Even if people have that misunderstanding, at the end of the day, they're doing what's necessary. I mean, what does that matter? So let's say people would think that having the shower after the mikvah is a necessary piece. Who cares? At the end of the day, they're still going to the mikvah and they're still becoming tar. So the Gemara says, no. Ela Amar Rava, shahayu omrim lo elu mitarin, ela elu mitarin. So Rava said, no. You know what was happening? Is that people began to think that what was it that made them tahar? Not the mikvah, but the shower afterwards. Therefore, Chazal went ahead and legislated that if you go ahead and you take the mayim shu'uvin afterwards, you pour the drawn water afterwards, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, your tummy. Rav suggests you show this trickles down now. So the truth is, one is really not supposed to shower. Like a person goes to the mikvah, one is not supposed to shower right after going to the mikvah because of this gezeira. One could shower later on, like a person goes to the mikvah in the morning at Rosh Hashanah, or one could shower afterwards, but the idea is one would not come out of the mikvah and shower immediately after using the mikvah because of this gezeira. Now again, for us, the fact that we would become tameh, the truth is, you'll excuse me, who cares, we're tameh anyway. So you go to the mikvah every single day, we're still tameh. But the point is, as part of this gezeira, we don't shower immediately after using the mikvah, we shower a little bit later on. Fine. Vitar shenafla rosha berubo shlosha lugin. And what was the next gezeira? That if someone is tahor, but three lugin of water, right, shenaflu arosho v'rubo. And both say, remember, I want to point something out. The previous gezeira was whether you would be showering, when we say showering, we mean times in the Gemara, pouring the water over you, or whether you were to go and sit in the bath. This gezeira, this next gezeira, is dafka, a tahor individual who had three lugin of water poured over him. Poured over him, his tummy. So the Gemara says, "My time of Gazu v'Rabbanan Tuma." Why did the rabbis legislate this case? Di'ilo ha lo kaimaha. Because if we would not institute this one, then what? The other one would not stand. The other one would not stand. So that the Gemara is suggesting, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, "Ilav." Ilav, it's like the third wide, fourth wide line in Rashi. Ilav, the gozer av al atar, lo kaima gzeira haba achar tvila, damar maishna mehai, maishna hai mehai. So Rashi points out over here what the Gemara is saying is that if we would not legislate in this case, it would not allow us to uphold the case in the post mikvah bathing as well. So therefore, interestingly enough, this seems to be a gezerah based on other, which is what Stephen was mentioning before, which we'll discuss in greater depth. But therefore, they legislated on the case of three lugin of Mayan Shuvin being poured over an individual in order to bolster the gezerah that you become tameh if you bathe after going to the mikvah. I just want to point out to you also just something interesting we'll leave it. If we have time, we'll come back to an interesting Tosfos on other days. The Sefer. Next case. Next Gzeira. That if you touch a Sefer, if you touch a scroll, right, like a Sefer Torah, if you touch a scroll, so you become Tomei, and you can make, if you touch Truma, you can make Truma into a Shlishi. So Gemara says, my time goes to be Rabbanan. Why did the rabbis legislate this case? My time goes to be Rabbanan Tuma. Amr of Mesharshia, Shebetchila hayu matznien es ha'ochlin de Truma etzel Sefer Torah. Interestingly enough, what people used to do was they would go ahead and they would keep Truma in the Aron Kodesh next to the Sefer Torah. Why? Good reason. Amru, High Kodesh, V'High Kodesh. They would say the Torah is Kodesh and Truma is Kodesh. Therefore, let's keep all the Kodesh items together. However, Kevan Dekachazit Ka'asule De Psida, when the rabbi saw that as a result the there was a loss that was happening to the Torah. Now, what does that mean? Rashi points out, mice would get into the Aron Kodesh and go ahead and eat the Truma. And while they were eating the Truma, they would also nibble on the parchment. Right? So when the rabbi saw that as a result of this practice, so the Sifrei Torah were being compromised, Gozru Bei Rabbanan Tuma. So the rabbis went ahead and established that if you do this, meaning if you go, essentially, what do they want to try to do? They want Truma out of the Aron Kodesh. What's the best way to get the Truma out of the Aron Kodesh? By saying that if you touch a Sefer, if you touch the parchment of the Sefer, you become Tameh in a way that would transmit Tuma to the Truma. Therefore, by doing that, that ensures that you get the Truma out.
So Sefer Torah doesn't become Tameh.
No, Sefer Torah can't become Tameh. Correct, correct. This is only, it only conveys Tuma to you, but not the Sefer itself.
Why is it obvious that you couldn't put a sign up and say, don't put Truma in the Aron? Why do you have to have...
The same way that those signs like, don't enter the sanctuary when the rabbi's speaking, or don't bring food into the shul.
No eating or drinking in the
shul. Right, those all work wonderfully, because everybody listens to signs.
Well, the gezer is a sign.
correct. But the gezer is a sign with teeth. Right? Instead, right, you could put signs, but people have a choice to ignore signs. As opposed to, if you invalidate Truma, that has a lot of teeth to it. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, okay, by adayim, hands. Now, the next case was general hands, that a person's hands, right, unwashed hands, can make truma into a shlishi. So the Gemara says, mipnei shayadayim askanios hain. So this is the easiest one, because ultimately, yadayim askanios means one's hands are all over the place. The idea is that over the course of the day, a person often touches things that may be unclean and may not even realize what he has touched. As a result, Chazal said, general, unwashed hands, make truma into a shlishi. So the Gemara says, Tana, af hayadayim habaos machmas sefer, postlos es hatruma. So the Gemara says the following, that even, af hayadayim habaos machmas sefer, postlos hatruma, even yadayim that come as a result of the sefer, right, that go ahead and touch the sefer, could go ahead and invalidate truma. So the Gemara says, mishum drabi parnach, because we're Rabbi Parnach, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'ochis Sefer Torah Arum, Nikba Arum. If one holds a Sefer Torah, Arum literally means naked. What does that mean? If one touches the parchment of a Sefer Torah directly, one is buried naked as well. What does that mean? Arum Sagadaitcha, Ela Azemin, literally Arum, Ela Amrev Zera Arum Below Mitzvos. It means that Rabbi Sayyid Gemara feels that touching the parchment of the Sefer Torah directly is a lack of kavod to the Torah. Lack of covet to the Torah. And therefore, if a person goes ahead and literally touches the Torah unclothed, right, he's just willing to touch the Torah directly, so a person is buried naked of all of their mitzvahs. They lose all of their mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, below mitzvah, really? You lose all of your mitzvahs because you treated the Torah disrespectfully? Ela ema arum below osa mitzvah. Rather, what it means is what? You are buried naked without that mitzvah. Which means, Rabbi said, let's say, whatever mitzvah you're engaged in, if you're engaged in Kriyas HaTorah, if you're engaged in Talmud Torah, if you go ahead and use the Torah in a disrespectful fashion, you do not get any mitzvah from the current act you are engaged in. So if you're learning Torah but you're touching the parchment directly, you do not get that mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says the following. Hey, Gazer Bereisha. Which one was legislated first? So what the Gemara is asking over here is, which one came first? Was it the Gzer about the Sefer Torah that came first? Or was it the Gzer about Yadayim that came first? Okay, so the Gemara says, Ha Gazer Bereisha. It's clear that Yadayim, that the enactment about hands was made first, that Stam Yadayim Askanios, and therefore our Tomei, Kevan Dahach Gazer Bereisha Ha Su Lamali. Because Halacha Lamaisa, the Gemara says, because if this other one was instituted, then why would you need the secondary Gzera? Elahach Gazer Bereisha Vahadar Gazer Bekulhu Yadayim. So the Gemara says like this. So, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, Ilim Ha Gazer Bereisha, let's read this once more. If you want to say that Yadayim, was the first legislation, that Yadayim was the first enactment, that the first thing Chazal did was they said that Stam Yadayim are Tmeim, right? Unwashed hands are Tmei, and therefore Halacha Lamaisa make Truma into a Shlishi. Then, Kevan Dahach Gazer Bereisha Ha Sulamali. Then, if Yadayim are already Tmei, Rabbi said, then what? Then I don't need the Gzer about the Sefer Torah. Because what does the Gzer of the Sefer Torah do? Right? It makes Yadayim Tmeim. But if you say that the Yadayim are already Tmeim, then what are you accomplishing with the Sefer Torah enactment? Ella Hach Gazer Bereisha. Rather, you have to say that the first Gezerah was what? Was Sefer Torah. The first Gezerah was that if you go ahead and you touch the parchment of a Sefer Torah, your hands become Tamei for Truma purposes. Vahadar Gazer Bekulu Yadayim. And then afterwards what happened? Then the rabbis expanded the scope of this Gezerah and say, you know what? It's not just if you touch a Sefer Torah, it's what? It's any Stam Yadayim. Any unwashed hands, by definition, are Tamei and will make Truma into a Shlishi. Tvul Yom. Next case was a Tvul Yom. Also remember the Tvul Yom. Sorry?
Couldn't you wash his hands right before you touch
the Sefer? You can, except then by touching the Sefer, your hands become Tamei. So there's two Gzeros. Stam Yadayim must come, right? Stam Yadayim, unwashed hands, are Tameim, are Sheni, make the Truma Shlishi. Or even washed hands, if you touch the Sefer, become Tamei also. Tvul Yom. So Tvul Yom is the individual, again, who was Tomei, went to the mikvah, it's still daytime, and he's waiting for the sun to set to become tar. So Gemara says, 1 second, Tvul Yom Doraiso, who, Dichsev Uva Shemesh V'Taher. So the Gemara says, Tvul Yom, that's not Midrabanan, Tvul Yom is Midoraiso, that he transmits Tuma to Truma. Because the Pasuk says, Uba Shemesh V'Taher. Also, we spend a lot of time in Brachas on this Pasuk, right? That the Torah says, only once the sun sets, at least that's how we paskin how to read it, right? Uba Shemesh, only once the sun sets does he become Tar. So the Gemara says, you're right. Sami Mikan Tvul Yom. Take Tvul Yom out of the list. Now, it doesn't mean that now there's only going to be 17 and 18. We'll find the 18th. But the Gemara says, you're right, Tvul Yom snuck in there. Tvul Yom is not Midrabanan, Tvul Yom is Doraisa. Next, Va'ochlin Shenitmu B'mashkin. And if you have food that became Tamei through contact with some type of Tamei liquid, so the Gemara says, Mashkin Dimai. What kind of Mashkin? Ilema B'mashkin Abal Machma Sheretz. If you want to say that, let's say it's liquids that either came from a sheretz or came in contact with the sheretz, daraisa ninhu, then that's biblical. That's biblical that type of mashkin could go in and make food tamei. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, v'chol mashke asher yishosa ela b'mashkin haboin machmas yadayim. Or, rather, it must be that what? It must be mashkin that came in contact with yadayim that were tmein. Ugzira mishum mashkin haboim machmas sheretz, and therefore the Rabbanan said that even mashkin that go in and came in contact with tame hands are able to make truman to a shlishi out of the gzira that you may come to allow for contact with mashkin that mamshi came tame through a sheretz. Vakelim shenitmu b'mashkin, and if you have utensils that became tamei through some type of tamei liquid. So the Gemara says, Kelim de itmu b'mashkin demai. Again, what kind of mashkin are we talking about? Ilema b'mashkin dizav. If you want to see, let's say, for example, it's mashkin of a zav, right? That what is mashkin of a zav? You know, I'll say literally, let's say the discharge of a zav. See, if you're talking about kelim that became tamein because they came in contact with a zav discharge, then d'oraisa ninu. Then again, that's not the rabbanon, that's d'oraisa. V'chsev v'chiyaro kazav b'tar. We'll say that drasha has nothing to do with our Gemara, but what the drasha means is the pasuk over here is quoting the idea the chiyara kazav betar, that literally when the zav, if the zav were to spit on someone, the Gemara dash is mashe biyat tar timei silucha, that which under normal circumstances might be tar in your hand is now tameh. Our takeaway from this is that the liquid or the discharge, the mashkin of a zav, literally can make something tamei, but that be daraisa. Ella b'mashkin haboin machmas sheretz. Rather, it must be with what? It must be with liquids that came in contact with a sheretz. Haboin machmas sheretz. Then I will say, interestingly enough, the halacha would be that under normal circumstances, liquids that came in contact with a sheretz would not normally convey tuma to a kli, to utensil. But over here, the Rabbanon were gozer, why? Ugzira mishum mashkin dizav. Right? And ultimately, about the reason we were gozer on it is because lest you come to a situation of kelim that come in contact with the mashkin of a zav, which would be problematic in daraisa. Fine. Now the Gemara loops back for just a moment. The yadayim. So now, remember, we spoke about yadayim. So the gzira of yadayim was that stam yadayim maskanios, just stam unwashed hands, are considered to be tameh, considered to be a sheni, and would therefore make truma into a shlishi because we assume that the hands are all over the place. So the Gemara says, just out of curiosity, tamidei shamai vehilo gazer, shamai vehilo gazer. So the Gemara will say, all of these gzeros, the Mishnah taught us, were gzeros that were made by the students of Hillel and Shammai. The students of Hillel and Shammai. So the Gemara says, really? The gzera of Yadayim was not made by the students of Hillel and Shammai. Was it made by Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? Who was the gzera of Yadayim discussed by? It was discussed by Hillel and Shammai themselves. This Sanya, Yossi ben Yo'ezer ish Tzreda, v'Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim, gazru tumal eretz ha'amim. So Rabbosai, the two Yossis decreed that there is tuma on eretz ha'amim. Now what does that mean? That when you go to any land outside of Eretz Yisrael, those lands are automatically tamei. Now, why were they gozer to that, Rabbosai? So Rashi points out, because outside of Eretz Yisrael, people were not careful in marking graves. Because people were not careful in marking graves, it could be that wherever you go, there's the chashash, there's a safek kever. So therefore, the two Yossis decided that midrabanon, there is a tuma on Eretz Ha'amim. There's a tuma on all lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, what else did they decree? Va'al kli zchuchis. They also made a gzera about a kli zchuchis. Now what's the kli zchuchis? Rashi says, the lokasev be'oraisa tuma. They also decreed that a glass utensil can become tameh. And then I will say, why is that a chiddush? Because the Torah speaks about, right, after the parashat of Niyah, after the war with Midian, the Torah speaks about all the different utensils that can become tameh, that are capable of becoming tameh, and glass is not there. For some reason, the Torah is talking about glass. So therefore, glass does not become tamei d'oraisa. It's the same reason that glass doesn't require tevila, doesn't require immersion in the mikvah mid'oraisa. But nevertheless, the two Yossis decreed that glass should be treated like metal, and therefore halacha is susceptible to tuma. Next, Shimon ben Shetach tiken ksuva le'isha. Shimon ben Shetach is the one who instituted the concept of a ksuva for a woman. The gazer tuma aklima tachos, and decreed tuma on metal utensils. So Rashi points out over here, lekaman mefarish. We'll see exactly what that means, because again, metal utensils become tameh not because of a rabbinic decree, become tameh because of midaraisa. Shammai v'Hillel gazru tuma aliyadayim, and Shammai and Hillel were the ones who instituted that hands, or just stam hands, are tameh. So you see from Rabbi say what? That Allah Chaim say it wasn't Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai who did it, but rather it was Hillel and Shammai who did it. So the Gemara says, V'chi teima, Shammai v'siyato, Hillel v'siyato. Maybe when it means Hillel and Shammai, it means what? Shammai, you know, and his posse, and his group, and Hillel and his group. So I mean, maybe Hillel and Shammai don't just mean them, but it means them and their students, which is why the Mishnah says Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. V'ha'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yud Ches Davar Gazru U'B'Yud Ches Nechleku. V'ilu Hillel U'Shammai Lo Nechleku Ela Begil Mekamos. So I'm going to tell you why it doesn't work. Because the Mishnah Dafka says that in 18 situations they disagreed, and in 18 situations they agreed on the Gzeira, and in 18 situations they disagreed. But the Gemara says we know that in fact Hillel and Shammai only disagreed in 3 situations. So the fact in three areas. The fact that there's the 18 areas of Machlokes indicate that this is nothing about Hillel and Shammai, but rather what? This must be talking about Beis and Beis Shammai. Damar Rabbuna Begil Mekamos Nechluku V'Sulo. Vesulo and no more. V'chi tema asa inhu gazor. Excuse me. Asu inhu gazor litlos. V'asu tamidai v'gazor listrof. So maybe the following. Maybe when Hillel and Shammai were gozer on hands, that hands are tamei and therefore make truma into a shlishi. Maybe what they said is that the only level of truma that hands convey is what we call tliya. Tliya means what, Rabosai? That tliya is a status of tumor. You make the item tamei. In that you can't use it. But what? You also can't burn it. You also can't destroy. So essentially you just let it decompose. The idea would be because burning Kodesh, burning Truma is a big to do as well. And maybe Hillel and Shammai said that Aloha Lamaisa, if with your stam hand you touch one of these items, then it's Tola, then it's just like in suspended halachic animation. And the Talmidim came along and said, no, you should burn it. Vaha Amar Ilfa. But Ilfa said, Yadayim tchilasan gzeirasan l'sreifa. But Ilfa said it's not true, because from the original gzeira was that stam yadayim can convey a level of tuma, let's say to truma, that would allow you to go ahead and burn the truma. And that was from the beginning. Ela asa inhu gazer, velo kiblu minayhu, v'asu tamidayhu gazru, v'kiblu minayhu. So also very interesting. So the Gemara says, you're right, you know what happened? Hillel and Shammai did legislate the idea that stam yadayim are tame and convey tuma to truma. But you know what? It wasn't accepted by the general populace. Here I will say, in general, rabbinic law only has teeth if the people decide to accept it. So for whatever the reason, when Hillel and Shammai legislated it, so then what? No one accepted it. The students then made another push, and this time what? This time it was accepted by the populace. So it's not a stira. So when the Bryce says that Hillel and Shammai came up with it, Einachinami, it was theirs, but it didn't take effect. And when the students came along, they're the ones who are credited with the actual legislation, because then the people accepted it. Two more lines. V'akati Shlomo Gazer. But the Gemara says, but one second, in reality, the Gzir about Yadayim is actually even earlier. Shlomo HaMelech is one who legislated about Yadayim. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'sha Shetikein Shlomo Erevin. Shlomo HaMelech was the one who instituted the concept of Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros. The idea that when you have a domain that is shared by multiple people, that you create this concept of Eruv that makes it into one joint Rishus that allows for carrying. So Shlomo Melech was taking Eruv Unetilas Yadayim, and he also instituted Netilas Yadayim. So Rashi points out over here that the fact that he instituted, well, Rashi doesn't point that out over here, we'll see it in Amud Aleph, that the fact that he instituted Netilas Yadayim indicates that what? That Shlomo Melech understood that Stam Yadayim are Tumayin, and therefore the Netila is there to rectify the Tumah. So the Gemara says, a voice from heaven came out and said, "Bni, im chacham libecha yismach libi gam oni." Chacham, so he's actually quoting the pasuk from Mishlei. "Bni, im chacham libecha yismach libi gam oni." My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will rejoice as well. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I lost the place. Bini im chacham libecha yismach libi gamani. Chacham bini v'samach libi v'ashiva charfi davar. Asa Shlomo, top of Tesvav. Asa Shlomo, gazer l'kachim, v'asar inhu v'gazer af l'truma. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Shlomo HaMelech was the first to institute the notion that Yadayim convey Tuma. But what? When Shlomo HaMelech instituted it, what did he institute it for? He only instituted it vis-a-vis Karbanos. Because again, on our both sides, the more, remember, the more kadosh something is, the more sensitive it is to tumah. So Shlomo HaMelech said that stamina, if you don't wash your hands can convey tumah to karbanos. And it was then Shammai and Hillel and their talmidim that extended this Solomonic decree down to truma as well. All right, we'll stop over here.